And it was John's Gospel, chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Dear brethren, I won't be long. There's a sister just give me a little card here. A short verse out of Daniel chapter 11 and 32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Do you know your God? I'm sure you do, because you know Jesus. You know, brethren, we live in very difficult times. And the difficulties get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the troubles, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. But we have Him to turn to. It's a wonderful gospel, the Gospel of John. All the Gospels are wonderful. There was a brother praying this morning, and he was praying about our state. I would like to read this little portion that I have written in the front of my Bible. Occupation with our state will never bring us one bit nearer to the Lord. It will only distress, cast down, and enslave our souls. Occupation with Christ will produce any moment increasing conformity to His image. The true remedy there for a bad state is Christ, so completely filling our vision. Christ and what He is, and what He has done, that self cannot be seen in the light of His glory. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be done with yourself. Paul was done with Him. Paul had one life. For me to live, he says, is Christ. Beloved brethren, we have a wonderful Savior. In this first chapter of John's Gospel, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it's not the Lord of glory, it's not the Lord of the kingdom, I should say, like we are in Matthew. But it's the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. In the second chapter, he brings in joy. They've run out of it. They've run out of it. The world's run out of it. They've got none. Got no joy. A miserable world. Their hearts are weeping. And they weep. And they go on weeping. And they go on weeping. And they stop. And then they start all over again. Weeping. 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 But the person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been pardoned and forgiven his sins, who's been justified, as Romans says, who's been reconciled, it says he joys in God, by whom he hath now received the reconciliation. In the third chapter, he comes across a teacher. In the second chapter, the end of the second chapter, it says he wouldn't commit himself to men. He knew them all. He knew them all. He knew what was in them. He knows what's in me. You know, it's motives that form Christian character. Not what you do. Not what you do. It's why you do it. Why do you do it? That forms Christian character. And you know, it's the only character. The only character. The character of Christ. That he knew all men. Wouldn't commit himself to men. When he saw the signs and the miracles, he said that we believed on him. And there was a man, ruler, teacher. Here's a man, he should know. Come from, he says to the Lord Jesus, you know that thou art the teacher, come from God. No one could do these miracles except God be with him. What does he say to him? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He wants a new life. Brethren, you've got a new life. It has nothing to do with the old Adam. Eternal life's not in him. It's in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Says Nicodemus, he says, you must be born of water and of spirit before you can enter the kingdom. His mother, what I say, he says, don't you understand these things as a teacher? And he would be a better teacher than the other day, you know. These men that were teachers, they were teachers. They didn't learn things from electric devices. They learned things from giving the whole study and the whole life and all their energies and all their abilities and all their faculties to study. Paul did. Paul did. What did he say about it? He said, I counted but rubbish. Rubbish that I might win Christ. And then in the fourth chapter, he meets a woman at the well. What does he say to her? She knew a little bit, but it was a little bit, mind. He says, we know that the Messiah is cometh, who is called the Christ. When he's coming, tell us all things. Of course he will, he'll tell you all things. He knew all things. He made all things. He says, oh, it's begun to be a thing, didn't he? He says that you drink of this water, this natural water. He says that you'll thirst again. He that drinks of the water that I shall give him. Just be in him. A well of water. We've been hearing about the inner man. Paul was only concerned about the inner man. He wasn't concerned about the outer man. The outer man, he says, it perishes. The inner man is renewed day by day. And in the next chapter, there's a man, 38 years, sick, goes to the pool. He says, when I was going, he says, somebody else stepped in before me. What does the Lord Jesus say to him? He heals him. A word from Jesus, just a word. For 38 years, he's been an angel, disturbed the waters. It's been said that's the administration of the law. And the law never made a righteous man, never did. Not even the civil law doesn't make a righteous man. Then in the sixth chapter, I am the bread of life. Then in the seventh chapter, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried. If anyone, not you Jews, anyone, he says, anyone comes and drinks of the water, it'll be in him. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, and whosoever believeth in him. Brethren, we are God's children. We have eternal life. We have the Spirit of God. That's absolute. It's been talking about abstract and absolute. It's absolute. I write unto you because you're forgiven your sins. All the blotted out, the white the snow. I write unto you, young man, he says, because you're strong. I write unto your fathers because you've known him from the beginning. Then in this eighth chapter, our dear brother made reference to it. The broader woman. Oh, how quick the flesh is, isn't it? The flesh and me. You know the Lord says if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. They'll both go over the top. The broader woman, how quick we are to see the wrongs and the mistakes in others, and we don't see them in ourselves. I've got thousands of them. I make them every day. But what do I do? I tell him about it. Brethren, tell him. Speak to one. Speak to one. He's in the ship, but the waves are high. He's in the ship with you. You're not drowned. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Then in the ninth chapter, the bring him on. See, he's born blind. Who's to blame? People do that, don't they? He's to blame. The Lord says, no one's to blame. It's his might work, the works of him that sent me. While it's day, night comes, nobody can work. We throw him out of the temple. He says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he that I might believe? He says, thou hast both seen him, he was blind. He says, thou hast both seen and heard him. And here it is that speaketh unto thee. What happens? That I believed in him. Worshipped him. He must be God. You don't worship anybody except God. He must be God. And he's the good shepherd. In the next chapter, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There are others that speak about to scatter the sheep, and that's what Satan's done today. Scattered them, not divided them, scattered them. But the Lord will have his sheep with him, won't he? No one can take them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gives them me, is greater than all. I and my Father are one. Then in the 11th chapter, He whom thou lovest is sick. Oh, he did love him too. You know, the life of Jesus was a life of love. And it penetrated into the places where it was needed, most needed. He wept with them that wept. He shared the sorrow, and he shared the love. And then he goes to the grave. He says to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And he wept. This is the one that we know. What would you do if you didn't know him? Brethren, I'm finished. Let us cling to the Savior more and more every day. And not only does he help us and guide us and keep us, but he makes us so better. You know, what a wonderful thing to be sober. I don't mean what people talk about. I mean, orderly and having things in control. You know, the Christianity is summed up in those three words, isn't it, that we get in tightness. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation for all men, hath appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live. How? Soberly. Godly. And righteously. In this present world. May the Lord help us.